Daniel chapter 1. And a lot of chapter 2 I preached on a few weeks back, and you'll remember some of those things when we, if we get that far tonight. But introducing Daniel, you know, I don't think it's good to study the book of Daniel if you don't know what you're studying about and the things that are happening. And but God had a purpose in writing the book of Daniel, and it was just simply to give a historical account of the faithful Jews who lived in captivity, and to show how God's in control of this whole world that we are part of, heaven and earth. And he directs the forces of evil and the forces of nature, the destiny of nations, and the care of his people. You just think about it, what's going to happen here in a little bit, and what he's saying to us, and their hearts and their lives. Daniel and his three friends that were Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, we better know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young teenage boys when Nebuchadnezzar made his first trip down to Jerusalem and raided the temple and took all the valuables that they could possibly carry back with them to Babylon, got the best of the best of the men and the girls, and got the best of the best of the livestock and stuff, took them back. They come back the second time, come back the third time. You remember when our study of Ezekiel and Kings, we studied that, and then one other book referred to it quite a bit in our hearts and our lives, and the things that happens to us concerning these things and what God's doing. But makes us wonder sometimes, where is God? Why is he allowing some of these things to take place? And so from the time that Daniel gets down there, he purposes in his heart to make the best of it. That's what that letter that God told Jeremiah to write, wasn't it? And he said, go down there and tell these people, you know, to build your houses and live in them. Dig your wells and drink from them, you know. Fill your barns and eat from them, you know, right on and on and on. And what he was telling them to do was to make the best of, they's going to be there 70 years. And, of course, when the other king came in there and allowed them an opportunity to go back a little early and get started on rebuilding Jerusalem and stuff and the things that was happening. And so this book of Daniel, you know, was written to his fellow brothers and sisters. It was captivity down there in Babylon. And the things that he was doing concerning that, and everything he did, I believe he did to advance the name of God and the things that was happening. And when I say that, I mean, you know, it wasn't for show for Daniel. He was careful. You know, when he went up into his room to pray after that decree went out, he knew what the penalty was. What was the penalty? You're going to die, you know? And yet what did he do? Prayed anyway. You know, I would have probably prayed too, but I'd have been in the closet. I wouldn't have been kneeling my window, you know, where everybody can see me, you know. What do we say, you know? What are we trying to avoid in our hearts and our lives? But I like what Daniel said in his scripture, and I think it's in chapter 2, somewhere along in there. He said that God reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. He may know the tough stuff, the bad stuff, but he knows the good stuff. And so as we begin tonight in chapter 1, we end in Ezekiel, and in ending Ezekiel, he was simply doing what the Lord told him to do. And so, but his job, what was Ezekiel's main job? To keep the people of captivity in knowing what the Lord had to say to them. He was their spokesperson between God and the people. And so Daniel, we're going to find here, is going to be placed in one of those positions where he's like a spokesperson for Nebuchadnezzar. You think that's by coincidence? Is it all part of the plan? That's right. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, or Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried all to the temple of his God in Babylon, and he put in the treasure house of his God. So when we start the study of Daniel, we start from the very beginning here of a young teenager with his three good friends, along with a whole tribe of Judah there that's being taken into captivity. We done described the very best of the very best were called to go in and to do it. But the thing that sticks out here that we need to remember, because we're going to see that in the last part of this chapter here, is it was bad enough for Nebuchadnezzar's armies to gather up the best of the best. But when they went into the temple of the Lord, you know, they got all the gold, and they got all the silver, and they got all the bronze, and all this stuff. But there were some articles or some vessels that were used in the sacrifices and stuff to share the wine and to eat the fruit from, like our Lord's Supper, you know, and we have our utensils that they carried off all these things. They got them out of the house of God, okay? Where'd they carry them? To the house of Nebuchadnezzar's God. Boy, that was a slap in the face to the Lord, wasn't it? And what he's doing here, and their gods. Verse 3 said, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. What kind of description did he write for these that he wanted to come in? Let me say this. He was trying to take these Jews from Israel and make Babylonians out of them. And what's the old saying? We can take the boy out of the country, but can't take the country out of the boy. And that's what they was trying to do to Daniel here. He wanted to transform these men into their way of thinking and what they were doing and their hearts and their lives. And he said, number one, to be without any physical defect. Number two, handsome. That left out a good many of us, but showing aptitude for every kind of learning. And just think about that, aptitude for every kind of learning. What did Daniel and them have to do? They were Israelites. They had to learn the language of the Babylonians, didn't they? And all these other things so that they could be good learners and do the things that God would have them to do in their hearts and their lives and things. He said here that the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter into the king's service. So he had to get them just right and do what he wanted to do through them in their hearts and their lives. And when you think of that and think about what he's saying here, he said among them that were from Judah or Israel was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, my Bible has a little footnote beside it that talks about their name and why he changed their name. And I want us to spend a moment there and understand what the changing of their names and why, what he was up to. Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of Daniel and his friends because he wanted to make them Babylonians. In their own eyes and in the eyes of the Babylonian people. He didn't just want them to change from being Israelites to for him. He wanted them to do it for the eyes of his people. So all those other people out there that he's going to have free run over and go out there and help minister to, and his three good friends here and stuff, you know, y'all just need to come over and join us over here, you know. And what's the devil trying to do to people today, you know? He working on the same system in his own eyes there. So old Nebuchadnezzar thought, I'll give him a new name. That'll help him, all right? Because he understood their real name. And Daniel meant God is my judge. God is my judge. Daniel understood his name. In Hebrew, his name was changed to Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. Meaning Baal, who was a Babylonian god. And Baal protects his life. Baal was also called Marduk. It was the chief Babylonian god. Hananiah meant the Lord shows grace. So we got God is my judge. And the Lord shows grace. Now you're going to come down and Azariah means the Lord helps. Abednego means servant of Nebo, or the god of learning and writing. And this was how the king was trying to change all of their names up and stuff, because I want y'all to meet Daniel. His God is his judge. That wouldn't have went over too good with the Babylonians, would it? But he said, how about it now? I want you to meet Hananiah. His name means the Lord shows grace. That wasn't what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to prove, but he gave him a name that was right the opposite. And so instead of letting him say, God is my judge, he wanted to say that Baal protects my life. I got a God that protects me. Well, we know today as God's children, we got a God that protects us, don't we? Our Heavenly Father, and things that he's doing concerning that. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Chief officials gave them new names to Daniel. The name Belteshazzar to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. So they was to train for 3 years. After that, they was to enter the king's service, and God was going to let them to eat from the king's table, and he assigned them a daily amount of food and wine. They were to be trained for 3 years. After that, they were entered the little king's servant. What do you think perhaps caused Daniel to resolve not to do this? And being a pillar, getting in that position that could be out there slaving in the field or on a hot, hot day, he's set up in the king's palace here. He's eating from, could be eating from the king's table and stuff. That word resolved, if you looked it up in the Greek and Hebrew, the way it's used there, it means that he purposed. He knew what the advantages was, but he also knew what the disadvantages was, you know. And I think, you know, one of the Babylonians eat different than the Israelites did. And what was the one thing that the Israelites couldn't have that the Babylonians could? Come on now. Pork chops, fried and tomato gravy. You got it, brother. Come on through for me. Sir? Bacon. Bacon, that's right. Yeah, we could get every meal, we could get some pork in there, couldn't we? And stuff. But he didn't turn it down because it wasn't something he liked. He turned it down because God had told him to leave it alone. Don't do it. So Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. He not only refused it, but he asked this official. Now, in a couple of my other books that I've studied out about this, you know, tells me that first thing Daniel did when he got to Babylon was he was assigned to this feller to train him for 3 years. So if he's going to be his teacher, instructor, or whatever you want to call him, Daniel made friends with him. He figured his best way to get along with this guy, you know, was not to have him as an enemy, but to have him as a friend, that he could get along a lot further. So when he come to this place, he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Daniel's probably thinking, what? If he's listening to the devil, what's the devil telling you? See there? Got yourself in a mess. Here you are down here in Babylon for 70 years, you know. King done changed your name, trying to get you converted from Judaism to Babylonian false worship here. He said, no, I'm resolved not to defile. But I like verse 9. God calls the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid if my Lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Now, we see a lot of emphasis today and stuff, and you can go anywhere you want to, and they got a gym, you know. They got them where you can be members and go anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you want to go, you name it, it's out there. Any kind of exercise, any kind of yoga and choka or whatever else it is. I don't know what all those things are. You can tell it didn't do me no good, you know, and stuff. But the thing that's happened. But along with those exercises and things that they do, you know, is all these diets that they have that go along with all these drinks they drink. And every woman you meet is toting one of them drink cups, you know. And I don't know if it's water in there or what is in there, you know, and stuff. I can talk big because Kim's at Central, you see, and I'm over here. But the king set them up a diet to eat that would keep them plenty of protein, plenty of strength. They'd grow strong, be capable mentally of doing what they needed to do in their hearts and their lives. And this young man, he had a good job. He was watching over them. He was their instructor. He got to eat from the king's table too, you know. He didn't want to mess that up. When Daniel come in and said, how about doing me a favor? Let me, he said, king will have my head if I get caught doing that. Verse 11 says, Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. He asked, Daniel did, the official, just give me 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Sound like a prisoner there, don't it? He wasn't asking for something he couldn't have. He said, just give me some vegetables and some water. Then compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. He said, you just give us 10 days. And you feed us vegetables and water. You go ahead and fill the rest of the class. See, them four gentlemen there were just four out of the all those that was picked that were to be young and strong and handsome and had a good knowledge and all the stuff that he put them on the star. There's a lot more people there than just these four. And it had to be pretty obvious, wouldn't you think, for him to feed all the rest of them from the king's table, and these just eating. The old chief official, he had to be pretty slick to feed four of them vegetables and water, and nobody else paying no attention to it, and see what happened. So let's see what he does, verse 14. So he agreed to this, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Maybe I would have been a vegetarian. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Why do you think that was true? Huh? Yep. God's taking care of them. Absolutely. And so the guard took away their choice food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Took away the choice food. Oh, that pork chop's going to go to waste. And the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. No cornbread. No cornbread. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kind of literature and learning. They can speak all kind of languages, you know. What is knowledge?
Things you know.
Things you know, what you know, absolutely. And so God gave them what? Knowledge. And you know something, but if you don't understand it, what you gonna do? You know, I have people tell me, Brother, I try to read my Bible, but I just can't comprehend what, I don't understand what it is. And these four men, God gave them knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Why were they going to need this? That's right. They got a long road ahead of them. About 60 more years to go before it's time to be let out of prison. So it said, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So we're going to be over about 7-8 chapters before we ever see Daniel interpret his first dream or anything. But right here, God's word said that Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. You know, this Bible don't contain everything. If it would, you know, there ain't enough room in this sanctuary to hold all the books that it'd take to record all the things, you know. But he had knowledge, he had understanding, he knew all kind of literature and learning, and he could understand these things in his heart and his mind. And so look at verse 18. It said, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in. How long do you tell him he wanted to be in training down there? 3 years. All right. Well, We passed through 3 years in a hurry tonight, didn't we? At the end of the time are the 3 years set by the king to bring them in. The chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none that was equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's service. He recognized just by simply talking with them and interviewing them that these men were of exceptional value. And he brought them in and set them into the king's work there and their hearts and their lives. Verse 20 says, "In every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom." Every matter of wisdom, every matter of understanding that the king questioned. He tried to make them stumble and fall. He tried to trick them and make them say or do their own thing. They were boys was sharp. They were good. But what made me look there when the king interviewed them 3 years later after being on vegetables and water, what did he say about them? They were 10 times better than all the magicians and his enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. And Daniel was one of the first captives taken into Babylonian captivity down there. And he lived to be one of the first exiles to get to come home to Jerusalem. But all during that period of time that he was down there, he honored the Lord. Just think about it. Three things I want you to take home with you tonight. We're not even going to think about starting chapter 2 because it's a long chapter and we've done been over some of the first, but we need to get to the last part of it. The three things that Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do to these young men was, number one, he was trying to change their way of thinking. What does the world do to us today? Why do you think they put all them commercials on TV and pay all that big money and do all the, everywhere you go, everything you do, They're trying to change our way of thinking. And how did he go about doing that? He put them in school for 3 years, didn't he? That's right, I had an apprenticeship. That's a good way to put it. And so why do you think he changed their names? He was trying to change their loyalty. You're no longer a Jew. You're a Babylonian, And change their thinking, change their loyalty. And why did he want them to eat this other food and do all these other things, And what they are doing there. Change their lifestyle, We've all had people try to entice us and draw us away, But the end result would be they was going to change our lifestyle, And how many times have you heard somebody say about an individual that maybe perhaps get into something and common quote from especially older folks, "Well, I can tell you this, but they wouldn't raise that way, They wouldn't raise that way." And so if they could change their thinking, they could change their loyalty. If they could change their loyalty, they could change their lifestyle. Any question about this? I like y'all. You a quiet bunch. Yeah. Belteshazzar was his changed name. I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember that. But them other three names, I got them three. That's right. Absolutely. Bible school put that there years ago in Sunday school and everything. Concerning all that. Absolutely. All right. But old Daniel's got his work cut out for him in the next few chapters. And what he's going to do. Any other thought? Everything I study say is somewhere between 15 and 18. In his late teen years. Yeah. He was there a full 60, you know, and then the journey getting him there, and then the journey bringing him back. He got to come back a little early to help restore stuff. 70 years had come and gone. I'm 73, you know, so what could you say? Just about his whole life, you know, is in this. But would you say Daniel made the best of a bad situation? Yeah. He sure did. Absolutely. Showed him the hand of God of a lot of things. Yep. Father, I thank you for tonight for this study. I just pray now that we'll apply it to our lives. If we go deep into Daniel, Lord, there's some things that we're searching for, we're looking for answers to, that we won't know how these latter days it's going to work. It's your will, show us that. If it's not, give us the grace to understand it. Be with our prayer list tonight. Many needs, many prayers, many thoughts. I just ask you to be very close to each and every one. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.